quiet.
I've got 6:30. We'll call the April 1st, 2013 Facilities, Parks, Golf, Public Works Committee in order. Roll call, we have everyone in attendance, the Supervisor Noel, and he probably will be here. Youth and Governance, we have
Jimmy Dolan.
Jimmy. We have one absent there. We'll move to approval of the minutes of the previous meeting.
I move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Skolinski, seconded by Supervisor Dodd. Any comments?
Yeah, I have one.
Supervisor Noodle?
I think it shows me that I was absent. I believe I should have been excused. I did send them an email to Vicki and was in Washington for the county.
Okay. So we'll note that on the minutes, a correction. Thank you, Gabe. Anything else? So, all in favor of the approval of the minutes of March 4th? Say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance. Well, one thing, I want to thank everybody for being out here. I know that some of you had not seen the facility. And some have just seen it on a limited basis, so I thought it was very important to have a meeting out here. You can see where the Parks Department is just beginning to operate now. You saw some of the equipment. Naturally, you know, John is having to slowly do this. The building needed to be taken out of a year and a half, 2 years actually, of not being used. Some of the areas here, like this room here, almost untouched, you know, was in very good shape, but the maintenance facility, some of the washrooms and things. But I think it was very nice for you know, some of the people besides this committee that hadn't seen this. And very good for everybody to see, you know, what we did. Because actually, what we did with this building, I'm still astonished at what we were able to do with this land and this building. And I think we'll all be able to look back on this and in the years to come and see what the Parks Department doesn't have to do in the future. So it was, it's all this committee. It was all you folks sitting here that made this happen. And the way we made it happen was being organized, diligent, and got it through the budget. And congratulations to everybody. And to John and the staff here for starting to turn this into a usable space. Any committee members have any comments?
I have a comment.
Yes.
I'd like to thank you guys for putting this on. Thank you, John, for the directions, all kidding aside. And I think that it was very good. Very good to see. And I really can appreciate what we have out here. And I talked to Chairman Elverman before the meeting, and I'd like to see this committee come up with some different use plans for it and bring it to the board, bring it to the executive committee. I'm really looking forward to seeing what some of the ideas are that could be uses for this building. So, again, thank you for having us out here. It was good to come out here, and I look forward to your report and your work in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes.
Well, you know, I'm very impressed looking at the building. And then the price that we got this for was such a good bargain. But most of all, thinking of how the county can benefit from this years from now, developing this area. This can be one of the finest parks in the county. I mean, it's beautiful out here. It's just beautiful.
Any other supervisors? You're the governance. Anything from you?
Nope. Just glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. Citizens' comments. Any citizens wish to speak? Not citizens' comments are closed. So, I had a long drive here. I'm a little bit tired. I'd like to entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
It's April Fool's.
That's not the bad one.
I almost seconded it myself.
I'm actually 4.5 minutes from home.
Are we going to vote on it?
Yeah. Oh, made second.
I didn't even vote on it.
Are we going to vote on it? Towards the door.
It's April Fool's.
Every bit of it.
That's fine. I've done this.
I just wondering how to put it in the minutes.
I've done this kind of stuff before. Put it in the minutes that way. Supervisor Oliver made a dumb joke. What's that? Move on to highway. So I am appreciating the fact that I am actually 4.5 minutes from home. And you guys have to drive.
You might be having a few more meetings out here.
Yeah. Highways is what we're going to start with this evening. We rotate facilities, golf, parks, and highways so that some of the staff, when they're done, then can leave, because some of the meetings get a little bit longer than others. I don't think this one will be. So we'll start with Mr. Sisma, new business.
Yeah, first item I have is a resolution to transfer ownership of some existing County Trunk Highway right-of-way to Majestic Realty. I've been working with the Village of Pleasant Prairie and Majestic Realty, who's a large developer based out of California, to site a warehouse distribution center along Highway H. It's a very large building, over 1 million square feet that they propose to build. And as part of that process, we do have requirements of any developer. You know, it's in the public's best interest that certain improvements be made along the highway, and that when you site a building like that, that it in the future there's enough land for any improvements that we would need to do along the highway. So Majestic Realty has agreed to dedicate to the county 60 feet of right-of-way along Highway H. Right now it's a variable right-of-way. It's generally 45 feet wide, but it does jog out here and there. And one of those jogs has become a problem to the developer. And on the drawing, you can see there's a rather long, narrow triangle. That's the existing County Trunk Highway right-of-way that extends out beyond the 60 feet. And because there are certain building setbacks requirements, and those setbacks are based off of the highway right-of-way, that little triangle creates all kinds of problems for the developer. In fact, it would probably require them to put a kink in their building because of that little triangle. So Majestic Realty has requested that 852 square feet of right-of-way be transferred to them, which would greatly assist them in siting their building on the property. And it has no impact on the highway, either short or long term. So my recommendation is that we go ahead and transfer that right away to Majestic Realty.
Any questions for Gary?
No. What happens if they don't proceed with the building?
Well, once we transfer the right away to them, it's done by a quitclaim deed, and it belongs to them, and then it would just be transferred over to the next property owner. I mean, once it's done, it's done. It's not going to return to us. But you know, either way, it's not going to have a negative impact on us. But on the other hand, you know, there is a little risk that nothing ever is developed there. But I think that at this point, that risk is pretty small, and there's no downside to the county long term.
Could that be done subject to them building, or that will be transferred
once they start building, or?
I'd have to check. I mean, we're trying to comply with the Village of Pleasant Prairie's ordinances, and the timing wise, I think it's a problem if we wait or make it subject to them actually doing the building, but it's a question of timing. And I'm not that familiar with the village's ordinance to know if it would be a problem or not. But I could find out.
Gary, what, it's 800 square feet?
It's 852 square feet.
The size of a small apartment. I mean, I don't see a usefulness of the county.
At its widest point here,
it's about 5 feet.
Yeah. And would this, whether it's Majestic or somebody else down the road, would we have the same issue here as far as the setback being a problem? So if we did indeed this ownership over to Majestic, who then has the right then to sell it to, if they decide not to proceed, it would be the same scenario we keep coming back to?
Correct.
Okay. I make a motion to approve the resolution as written.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Supervisor Dodge, motion by Supervisor Skolitsky. Any discussion? Supervisor Underhill.
Where's the entrance? Are they going to be coming out on H?
Yeah, there's going to be two access points on Highway H. One basically on the far north end of the property, one on the far south end of the property. Both of them are going to have improvements, passing lanes and turning lanes completed by the developer.
Okay, thank you.
Which is, again, is pretty much standard procedure that we follow on any development like this.
Any further questions or discussion? Not all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Move the governor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, Gary.
The second item I have is another resolution. I guess I'll go back a ways and work backwards on the history of what's going on here. We have an approved project, including 80% federal funds in the Round Lake Beach urban area, to reconstruct this curb on Highway W, and I'll refer to this, the map that's attached to the resolution. As part of that reconstruction, a residential house needs to be relocated in order to get the new curb and curvature into the road. And I believe it was last fall when I first brought this to the committee and kind of gave your attention to the fact that that house had come under the sheriff's sale scenario where they, for whatever reason, back taxes. I'm not sure what happened in this particular case, but it did go to the sheriff's sale, and I learned that the bank was going to bid on the house, which generally takes us out of our the amount of money that we would pay for the home. So, anyways, it did go to the sheriff's sale last November, and it was sold at the sheriff's office for $240,175 to the bank. And we kind of tracked the ownership of the house. The bank owned the house. We had a little bit of difficulty with the bank because they were out of state and a little difficult to find proper people to talk to, because we were still interested in purchasing from the bank. Well, somehow or another, it got transferred over to the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, you know, otherwise known as HUD, which is a federal organization. How the mechanics of all that work, I really don't know, but it did happen. And next thing we know, there's a sign on the window of the house that's for sale by a realtor. I called the realtor, and he said, yeah, that HUD had hired the realtor to sell the house, but he wasn't sure about the asking price, and he would get back to me. He did call, and I talked to him, and he said HUD has an asking price of $82,900 for the house. So it's basically gone from $240,000 last November down to $82,900 now for sale by HUD. I did do a little bit of research into it. It is assessed at $172,900. I've not done anything further. You know, I haven't got any appraisals done. I think that if in fact we can buy that house and property for $82,900, it would be, you know, a waste of our time and money to do appraisals and that type of things. It's just an incredibly low price to pay for that property. So in our CIP, we have this, we actually had this right-of-way acquisition scheduled for 2015, and we were estimating that the cost, including relocation of anyone that lived there, at about $300,000. So if in fact we can proceed with this purchase, you know, it's had an incredible savings to the county, and I do recommend that we proceed with the purchase of that parcel of land, including the house.
Thank you, Gary. Now, just as for some of the right-of-way that we acquired with the purchase of this property, the future of Highway F, we purchased an additional piece of land that we weren't really that interested in at the time. But this is one of these deals, I think, that everyone that reads this resolution knows it's going to happen in 3 to 4 years, and for this cost to come down to where it is, I think that's the critical thing the committee's got to look at. But any questions for Gary at this time? Supervisor Nudo.
Are we planning on using a realtor to purchase, or?
No, I've been working with Bernie Bosch at Corp Counsel, and he's been advising me that if in fact, you know, we can proceed with this, we would just have them write an offer to purchase, and we would proceed, and we, between Corporation Counsel and myself, we would make sure that, you know, all the proper paperwork is filed, and we would just do it ourselves.
I'll move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge to approve. Any further discussion or a second?
I'll second. Gary, do the funds currently exist, or do we have to borrow to get? I should ask, are we intending to make a full price offer for 82? Are we getting going a little lower than that? Because asking 82 doesn't mean we have to pay 82.
Right. And I haven't had that discussion with the realtor. I mean, right now, he's got a, everything he does needs to be approved through HUD. So at this point, he's told me what the asking price is, and we've not been able to proceed any further at this point. So we have $105,000 in the Round Lake Beach urbanized area fund in our budget. Now that's the money that I would intend to use or take the price of the house out of that fund. But that money is there for a reason, and the reason is to fund the engineering phase of this project and the engineering phase of another project over on Highway C. neither of those, because it's federally funded and we only pay the 20% match, we draw out of that fund so slowly that we actually could use this money now, but we will have to rebudget for it later. I mean, that money is there for a reason, because we need it. We're going to use it now for the right-of-way purchase, but the balance of those engineering funds, we are going to have to rebudget for next year. So we're kind of borrowing now, but we're going to have to repay next year for that Brown Lake Beach urbanized area.
And I'm just asking, do we need to state that at all in the resolution here with regards to repurposing funds, or is it because it's intended for this project, whether it's engineering or, in this case, land acquisition? Are we okay?
I was advised by the finance department that we don't need to do anything other than, they have reviewed and approved the resolution at the finance division. So.
And obviously your intent now is not to relocate this house, it's to raise it?
Raise it.
Okay. And then from just the illustration here, a couple oddball-shaped parcels from that, would anything be left over down the road to be able to sell back?
Probably not. Part the existing right-of-way, actually, because it right now it's just a highway easement, the existing right-of-way that we would not need would revert to the underlying property owner. So in that case, some of the right-of-way may automatically revert to the adjoining property owners, but
kind of we would on this side.
Yeah, there would not be any remnants left on that the parcel that we're buying.
Yeah, we went out there once. It is a bad corner there.
It is
down the hill and all that.
Yeah.
And so even over here, which is obviously very triangular in shape, we would just redeed that or.
Typically, we would keep it, and I would really have to take that under advisement of the corporation council as to what our options are.
When were you planning to begin the engineering phase? Where we're utilizing those funds right now?
Well, if in fact we're successful with this acquisition, we'll start the engineering phase right away. We've been kind of holding off because it's mm-hmm. just. The way the engineering is and the environmental documents that need to be prepared, they once they're like over a certain period, like a year and a half old or 2 years old, you got to redo everything. So I didn't want to start the engineering and then not have the be able to buy the property, because then I'm wasting money on a lot of the engineering phase. So we've held off. We'll go right away. Okay. If we get this parcel, we're going to start with the engineering immediately.
Is the intent to leave any of the old roadway in there for driveway access, or tear that out, extend some driveways? I'm just curious.
Tear out and extend the driveway.
Okay, because it's. Yeah.
And I did get a call from one of the persons across the street. In fact, it's the house that always gets hit by cars.
Down here.
Yeah, that's also for sale. And
do you want to buy it? No.
they were very. Very happy that this project was proceeding, because obviously they have an issue with their house. So.
Okay. And then, do you have it? Because I just don't remember timetable-wise.
Okay, we're just going to stick to this resolution. Yeah. We got a lot of questions here. They've been good questions, but we're this resolution, I think we've had enough answers to do the resolution. Okay. Anything else on the resolution?
Yeah. I have a couple of questions. One is, who is going to decide on what price to offer?
At $82,900, that would likely be the maximum that we would pay, and I would work with our corporation counsel's office and get a recommendation from them. I'm kind of looking at that as being the maximum that we would pay.
I understand that probably that would be the maximum, but again, who's going to decide on the price? I don't believe, with all due respect,
I don't think the corporation council has got the knowledge of what the property is worth.
Mm-hmm.
My other question is, you had mentioned the property is already listed with the realtor.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we try to use a realtor? At least we can use, it's not going to cost us anything more than that, because the sellers will pay the commission to the realtor that we use.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, it can help with the price. We don't have to go out to get an appraisal, but it could come in and bring a market analysis, or, you know, that basically would work for us and get paid from the sellers.
Mm-hmm.
And that will probably be the best way to do it, where corporation counsel could work with them on the legality of it, but not on the price. Because, again, yeah, they're asking me to not. I'm not saying it's worth it. I don't even know the address.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, that gets me to what's, you know, what the address is of the property. Or
I don't know. Yeah. 8230 Fox River Road.
So that's pretty much. I have a problem with that, trying to come up with the price and what to offer. You know, not knowing what the value is.
Well, like I said, if we went out and got an appraisal, you know, it's probably going to cost about $3,000 to get the appraisal done, and I think the appraisal's going to end up being, you know, so much higher than what the asking price is now. I don't know where the value is in getting an appraisal done. You know, I think there's enough evidence in the pricing that the $82,900 is not excessive by any means.
I disagree with that. I've been doing this for 40 years, and anybody that tells me that, I know it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Again, there's no way that I could even guess on what the property is, even if I went through. The other thing is, we don't need an appraisal. I'm not saying that we should do an appraisal, but we can utilize a realtor, the service of a realtor, because it's not going to cost us any extra money. We can see what their suggestion is. Okay, and is the property worth $82,900 or whatever that is? Maybe it's worth a lot more, but maybe it's only worth $40,000. I see property that were sold at the sheriff's sale for hundreds of thousands, and then they ended up selling them for $40,000. Mm-hmm. That's in the way it's going now. So my guess is, let's work on it through a realtor. You know, let him come up with some to show us what the property's worth, or with the market analysis or something, and then with the corporation counsel, they can work on the legality of that, you know, which we can always supersede on that.
Okay, Supervisor Noodle, that's not up to Mr. Sisma, that's up to this committee. So the discussion.
That's the discussion.
So
that
the discussion should be to the committee. What you look at here is that it was $300,000, then it was $240,000, now it's assessed at $170,000. $82,000, if somebody buys it other than the county, we're back to the $270,000 in 3 years when we need to acquire that land. And we do need to acquire the land. This is what I'm telling you clearly. So if we have a chance for $82,000, $83,000, $79,000, $86,000, the key is for the county not to let somebody else purchase that land. That's what we as a committee have to look at. If somebody else purchases it, we at least double what we're going to pay for it. That's like, there's no argument. So if you want to jack around with a realtor, or let the corporation counsel, who is, I'm sure, much more legally talented than a realtor, to deal with HUD, and a realtor's not going to want to deal with HUD. I mean, go ahead and make a motion. It'll be up to the committee. But, you know, that's your prerogative.
Yeah, I will make a motion to have at least to see, come up with trying to come up or to have somebody qualify the list to give us an opinion of value on what the property is worth.
Do you want to put a I'd hire a fee to a realtor? Is that what you wanted?
No. No, I didn't. The properties are very listed. We can even use the same realtor that has got the property listed. Okay. Pretty much, you can give us a copy of his market analysis and go from there, and then just go through it.
So, come up with your motion here. We'll see if you have a second.
No.
Just a quick question. What about something, and Gary, you can chime in, please. If we put something like at a price not to exceed $82,900, if we can do better, great. If we can't, I agree with you. It's a hell of a, you know, we're saving a lot of money, and long-term we need the land. I know. I've been out there. I've seen this land. How we do that, whether it's through the current realtor, yes, we don't want to complicate the thing, because the next thing you know, you have another investor that's smelling blood in the water. They buy it, they're going to double the price. They will, because they know we need it. So I understand that part. But I understand trying to minimize what we spent, that's all I was
interested. The part that I'm saying, I'm not saying that we should put it, maybe it's worth more than $82,900. Like Chairman said, we've got to pay. Well,
they're asking $82,900, Gabe. Yeah. Somebody else could go there tomorrow and buy it for $82,900.
Or $83,000 or $84,000 or $50,000. What I'm saying is if it's worth that much, maybe I've seen it, a lot of properties, they get sold for more than what they're listed for.
Right, and you screw around long enough here. Okay. And it'll sell, and we'll pay $200 for it in 2 years. Gary?
Timing will be the same.
The situation with this is a little bit different with HUD involved. HUD tells the realtor what the price of the house is. There's no market analysis by the realtor. No, HUD drives what the cost of is going to be, and it's not up to the realtor, it's not up to us, it's up to HUD. Either you can accept what they're going to sell it for, or you can move on and do something else, because that's just the way it is with them. It's not up, the realtor is completely under HUD's control as to what the price of the house is.
Okay, so we have a resolution before us.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to amend that, go ahead. Let's word it. Go.
I have some questions here. I listened to this whole thing, and from what I understand, I don't know if times have changed, but you're exactly right. On a HUD foreclosure, what they do is they set a price and they have people bid by a certain date. Is that the process that's going on now?
As of today, the only thing I've done is talk to the realtor, okay. and he's indicated that he's gotten the asking price from HUD. It's 85,900, whatever.
82,900.
And that's it. That's okay. All we've done up
okay.
there.
Okay. Typically, the way I remember it is they're going to get a number, they're going to set that, and they're going to say people are going to have the up until May 30th to send in offers. So at that point, you know, I think your idea of wanting to know things is good. Chairman Elverman's idea is great too, but you're going to lose it. I mean, you don't fool around with something that is already, you know, below price like that. I understand if you're going out to buy a house for your kids or something, it's a little different. It is a price set by HUD. If we don't come in at full price, we do have the ability to lose it. And if somebody gets wind of us wanting it, you better believe somebody's going to pay 86 and then sell it back to us at 200. I mean, I would. I mean, that's the way it would roll. So I understand the pricing and I understand what we need to do. I'm a little perplexed that why did finance say it didn't have to go before their committee?
It does have to go through their committee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then I misunderstood that. Okay.
Yeah. No, it does.
Because it involves money.
Right.
I was a little curious as to, okay.
Yeah. It's just there's not a transfer of funds, money between different funds involved in this. It's already in the proper fund to pay for the...
Okay, and that brings up my next question. You said that you were going to forego engineering costs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but then when Supervisor Skolitsky asked you if you were to start the engineering right away, you said yes. So I don't know how we're going to have the money to pull this out of the funds and start the engineering right off the bat.
Because we have $105,000 in that fund now, and I would only be using 82 of it. And the way these projects work is Because of the federal funds involved, the state pays for all the engineering. They bill us for just the 20%. So there's that 20%. I can fund that 20% with the existing $30,000 in balance for the rest of this year without any trouble.
Okay, thank you. I also, now Supervisor Skolitsky and Chairman Alderman both said that this was something we needed to do anyway. Has this been on our radar for that long that we absolutely have to get this curved?
Yeah.
It has. Okay, you guys are on the committee. You would understand.
It's in the CIP.
Better than me. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So we have a motion, Supervisor Dodd, second by Supervisor Skolitsky, to approve this. Any further discussion? And if there's an amendment?
No, I'm not going to make any amendments at this time. Then I'm going to vote against it with only because I want to do some more checking on that. And hopefully I'll have my answers by the time it goes to the full board.
Okay.
Oh, actually, it's going Wednesday, right?
No, it'll go to finance first.
It'll go to finance. So hopefully by then, and I'll plan on being in finance. So hopefully by then I get my questions answered, right. But I can change it by then.
So any further discussion? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
You the governor?
Aye.
All right. Okay, we'll move on.
You vote?
Fine, I vote. He's in favor, yeah.
I just had a couple of quick things.
Huh? He never says anything.
I signed it.
That's my paper. Yes.
Do we have the originals of these? The sign?
Yeah.
Just a couple of quick things. We did open bids for the Highway G project on 30th Avenue between 18th Street and 22nd Street. We had five bidders. Zig Nagel Company was the low bidder, and they've been awarded the project, so we'll be starting that next Monday, April 8th, so getting an early start on the project, and it's about a 3 months completion, very, very similar to what we did last year on 30th Avenue, so that's moving forward. And then I just have a copy of the 994 projects that are going to starting this Friday, April 5th. The major closure starting Friday is the Highway 50 northbound entrance ramp is going to be closed from April 5th to sometime in July. The I-94 exit ramp at Highway 158 is going to be closed from now until July, and the 142 northbound entrance ramp will be closed between now and mid-July. So major closures going to happen. And then there'll be different closures again beginning in mid-July. I'll let you know about that. This is all part of the reconstruction of the main line, I-94, that will happen basically from Highway 50 up to 142 this year. So
And then they're done for a while, right, after this?
They're doing this year, and then next year they have to do the section between 158 and 142 in the southbound direction, and then that's it.
Okay.
Then they're done. They're not going to do anything more in the foreseeable future.
Anything else, Gary?
No.
Mike,
do you
have a question? Are you going to do anything with 60th Street? Or is that
going to be 14th? The only thing they'll be doing now is they'll be replacing the other side, the bridge, and then, but no more, they got to put the finished layer of asphalt on there, but no more reconstruction.
Tear that one down and close 60th for
Just overnight type closures for teardowns. The major closure, that crossing that's going to close for an extended period of time, is Highway N. That crossing is going to be closed.
K is going to be closed?
No. Well, no, it's not on their list of closures other than overnight.
So they're not going to tear that southbound side off?
They are going to tear it out, but they'll do it without closing it for an extended period of time.
Really?
Well, it's not on their list of closures for, but
they closed all summer last year.
We had no advance warning last year either, so I guess anything can happen. But they did not say anything about a long term closure on K.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
Sure.
We will move on to parks. I believe what we'll move on to is new business, because the master plan, I think we're pretty well stated where we're headed there. We're getting our ideas and costs and things together on the diving ramps and the bowl launch and things. So we don't have any numbers on those types of things yet, so we'll go on to new business.
I don't have anything to report on the aquatic activities, but today I did get an email from JJR. They sent me kind of a tentative contract or a proposal, because we'd asked them, they did the original master plan, we asked them what it would cost and what they would do for us to do this new portion here and add it to that existing master plan. And I really haven't talked with anyone about it yet. I need to talk with the county exec and get his thoughts on it. But one thing that they did do is they asked us in January if they could use our master plan to submit to the American Society of Landscapers, of which is their professional association, and they received a merit award for analysis and planning with our master plan, which was basically second place. So I thought that was pretty prestigious that they got that. And that's about all I have on the master plan. So,
okay. Yeah, we'll move on to
the parks report.
Yep.
Pringle Nature Center, I'm sure, or I think everybody probably saw in the newspaper that they did a maple syrup hike out at Petrifying Springs. They did three hikes. It was from like 10 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon. And they had right around 20 folks come to each one, where they hiked up into the North Woods. They showed them how to tap a tree. They had some tapped. And when they came back, they boiled sap down so they could actually see how you made syrup. It was very popular, and I know Hawthorne Hollow does it as well across the street, but for whatever reason, it drew a lot of people in. And I think next year, the Pringle Nature Center is already planning on doing it again, but on a little bit bigger scale. It is interesting if you ever get a chance to go watch it. She made tea. She boiled it down so far and made a tea out of it. And then she boiled it down the rest of the way and actually made maple syrup. At KD Park, the Department of Trade Agriculture, or Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, canceled our fish farm license at the request of the Wisconsin DNR. Their main problem, the DNR's problem with that was, is that they did not like the catch and release. They said we didn't have the control over that, and that all bodies of water in the state belong to them, and the DATCAP steps aside when the state steps in. So right now, at this point, we have Samantha Kirkman is working with Kathy Stepp up in Madison to try and at least get it into a youth fishing program, which gives kids an earlier fishing season and does provide for the DNR to stock the lake. And so hopefully we can go that route, at least to preserve it for the kids. The Kenosha Velo Sportsmen, they've already held two, their training races is what they are, preseason races at Silver Lake Park, with the third and final one coming up on April 7th. They have over 100 racers at each of these events, and it's really, we had an initial cost to get Gary to send a broom tractor and an employee over to sweep the road, which I billed the Kenosha Velo Sportsman Corps. And it, you know, it's a slow time. Soccer hasn't started or anything else, so it was a good use for the road in the park. Mountain biking, we had the fat tire bike race, the bicyclists that raced in the snow, and they have approached me about building a mountain bike trail in Silver Lake Park, of which they would bear probably 90% of the costs and do most of the work themselves. They showed me just sort of an initial sketch of what they're thinking, and their trails aren't necessarily long. They're on hillsides and a lot of, I don't know, what would you call, like, back and forth. I mean, and all mountain bike tracks, from what I understand, are one way because they're very narrow. And I said, well, what about meeting somebody? They said, you never meet anybody because they all go clockwise. One reason we're doing this is because we don't allow bikes on any of our trails, and we don't have any place specifically for mountain bikers. And along with this, with the new Adopt a Trail program, these folks said they would adopt it and maintain it. So I think it's win-win for everybody to put this trail in. The only thing is that the local folks out here in Twin Lakes and Silver Lake that are in this national organization have to come up with a name for their own group in order to be able to adopt the trail. So they're working on that, and I haven't heard from them for about 2 weeks and haven't checked with them, but I fully expect to see them starting on it probably this summer. This Saturday is our tour of duty dog park cleanup at the dog parks. It's just 10 a.m. to noon. We're going to have cookies and refreshments there for those who volunteer to help, and hand sanitizer. And then the last thing I want to report is on squirrel watching. We at Pets in Area 2, we've got starting to be quite a following of folks that come out and feed the squirrels, and where they like to feed them is on the island in Lot 2. And the squirrels are all over in the road and there, and in the park, coming from behind them in the parking lot. So we had some scrap lumber over in the barn, leftovers from projects, and we built a 12-foot-tall hollow, I'll say, squirrel tree. And then we put the attachments on it to put ear corn on. And then we built a tray on the bottom for folks to be able to put their peanuts and sunflower seeds and things on, and hopefully keep everybody from baiting the squirrels out into the highway, which, even though it's 50 miles an hour, so far it's been pretty good. The other day, I think it was Thursday when I went by there, there was 12 squirrels there. A lot of folks have been stopping by and sitting there. A lot of elderly folks love to sit and watch squirrels. I mean, I don't really appreciate squirrels, but there are folks who do, so I think it's, you know, it is funny to watch them. So anyways, we tried that. If it doesn't work out, the worst thing that would happen is we pull the thing out of the ground and fill a hole. So, but anyways, so that's all I have.
Thank you, Matt. Any specific questions for
on the dog park cleanup?
Mm-hmm.
There's three of them, right?
Yep.
Are you just going to kind of be going from one to other, or are they all going to be at different times?
All at the same time. We have folks from the dog park committee stationed at each one.
Okay. So we're running the same time. And have you done it in the past?
Nope.
So hopefully a lot of the users come to help.
That's what we're hoping.
Yeah.
We'll have shovels and garbage bags there and everything.
Okay. Right.
So.
Right.
Thanks. Yeah, just with the snow melting off.
If you go to the dog first, there's hardly anything out.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else for John? Well, now we'll move on to golf. I'll handle that. Dan is still not able to be back to work. He did say that possibly, I think this weekend, he was going to possibly be released by the doctor. Ups and downs to that. Naturally, he's still, you know, running the operations that he can do, and we are not in operation as far as the actual operation of the golf courses. They're doing all their maintenance. They're doing all, but we're behind last year, and we're going to be. We were open at this point. You all got the report. The golf show. The opening of the clubhouse is what they were talking about. It was April 5th, but the way the weather looked, Dan thought there's still 20% of snow on the courses as of today. Because a lot of it's wooded, shaded. He did think by Thursday we might get 9 open at Pets. They were talking 56 degrees and we might get enough melting by then. But as of right now, there's nothing open on the golf courses. All the leagues that they had from last year are signed up and they're working on some new. And you saw on the irrigation work. So that's what's happening this season. You know, we had a lot of good things happen for us last season, and this year it's not. We're actually behind the average weather-wise, and hopefully we can adapt and we get good weather coming up. And then on golf also, Jim has some information for us on...
People have been wondering about the profitability of golf last year, and the numbers aren't finally audited, but they're just about done. And the profit for golf for 2012 is in the $79,800 and for last year.
How much? What did you say?
$79,000 in the black.
So, again, this is not all the final numbers, but there's been a lot of questions, a lot of people wanting to know, and this is as close as Jim and the auditors can come up at this time. It's around $80,000. So that's going to be released to the Finance Committee. Yeah. They wanted this committee to hear it first, and Finance Committee will be next, and then naturally the paper's going to get a hold of that, and they're going to ask more questions. But Jim, at this point, doesn't have any more answers as to what made the profit, what did this, but it's around $80,000. First profit we've showed in, what, 9, 10 years?
Yeah. Maybe a little longer than that.
Could be. It's around that.
So it was a good year for golf. And yeah, I just did want to explain, as every year, the Finance Committee, all of the carryovers and all the profitability fund is discussed with the Finance Committee at the April meeting, so it'll go to them next Thursday. But rather than... have anyone be surprised, we thought it'd be best to tell everyone on this committee first so you guys know. Kenosha News has been asking. I think they're going to do an interview with Dan or somebody, and so you might see a story in the paper.
Tomorrow, even.
Yeah, I doubt if it'll happen tomorrow, but it'll be, it might happen before the Finance Committee meeting, it might not. But the gentleman who normally covers the county, Joe Patani, is now covering the city. And he's going to do some kind of article. But anyway, it's good news for golf that they're in the black. It's been a while. And
so we wanted this committee to hear it first, publicly.
Dave? Anybody, I know we had talked about what the expectations were towards the end of the year. We said, or
no.
We never put a number there.
We always said we don't know. No one ever said. And that's what we kept repeating.
That's why I don't remember. So it's not because I'm getting old.
We were hoping.
Right. No, I remember that, but I don't know if we had projected anything.
No. Nope.
Okay.
Never did.
Is there any interest or is there any movement towards allowing golf operations to keep the profit to reinvest back into it, or is it going to the general fund?
How it always worked prior. Was that money that was made in golf stayed in golf. And that still, I believe, has not changed. Problematic has been golf has lost money and we've used other money, but that's always come from public works. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it has stayed. So if we go by past practices, this money would stay in golf.
There's something in the budget resolution for this year that says that money is supposed to be used for capital improvements in golf if there's any surplus in that fund.
Okay. So that we wouldn't use CIP money.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
When the budget resolution was approved in November, that language was in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else on golf? We'll move on to facilities.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take the 60th Street Tower replacement. Ray wasn't able to make it today. We've got some little bit of good news on that front. The county exec's office called the city administration and got things moving on the city's end. And actually, from what I hear, the city apologized. So it fell through the cracks for a little while. So anyway, they've committed to getting the appraisal complete submitted to the DNR by the end of April, which means that we should then be able to start construction in May. We'll keep you posted. So
apologies are good. Gabe?
I have a question on that.
Sure.
There was some discussion before. Remember when the city, in other words, they took their time, we're going to go through.
Right. But
then, wasn't that towards the beginning of this year that the federal or somebody, whoever got involved?
Yes.
Say, but that was around January, February this year, correct?
Right.
Okay, because somebody over at the city made a statement and saying that the county was notified of that back in November last year.
Never, no.
And that's, and actually, I asked them to send it to me in writing.
No.
And as of this date.
No, they didn't even know about it, and we would have had all this approved before they even knew about it.
Right, that's what I recalled.
Right.
They said we had it, so I asked them, I said, can you send it to me in writing?
They won't put it in writing for you.
No. Well, I didn't get it.
No, you won't get it because it's not true.
Okay.
That was it for the towers. Turn over to Ron Fagan.
Just project, Ron.
For the park and ride structure, there is some final programming that's going to take place this Thursday. That will be the last piece of the hardware and software puzzle for the parking structure.
Thursday. Wow.
Then there's going to be a week for software and hardware training, and probably a week for shaking it down to make sure everything works correctly, and then we can schedule a date to go live with the gates.
So May?
I would say early May.
It's amazing. That's what's waiting.
We should have a ribbon cutting. It's been so many words.
Well, actually, big scissors.
We're going to have a map for Gabe.
But I mean, look at this. We did a $10 million project on our own. You do a $160,000 project with the state.
2 years.
2 years. Okay, the HVAC, who's doing that one?
I'll take that, Mr. Right. Chairman. Just an update. We did run into, we're putting new HVAC controls on the key CDC, but we ran into some of the air controlling boxes that mix the air in them. It was 18 years old, and it's some of those were not functioning, so we're working through with our maintenance people and to figure out which boxes aren't working, so that when we put this whole control system in, it's actually controlling functioning mixing boxes and will actually do what we want it to do. So that's taken us a little more time, but we're on the right path. We're doing it the right way. If we would just stuck in the controls on a system that we found is not functioning properly, it wouldn't have done us any good. We wouldn't have realized the savings. So it's taken a little more time, but we're getting it done right. That's it from that.
Okay. Then we got the shooting range.
The range project is complete. The officers are using the range. I haven't had any negative feedback on it. I think, I don't know if Supervisor Gaffney is here.
I haven't had any negative feedback.
Everything I've heard has been positive.
No,
I haven't heard any complaints on it. And I think it turned out fairly nice.
This is
joint services
before and after.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'll take that. That's the.
It's supposed to be quite complicated since we have these pictures of the bathrooms.
Well, I thought I would give a little bit. They're not professionally done, I should say. They're
fine.
Just.
Looks like somebody wrote a phone number or a note on this one.
Well, it actually says out of order.
Oh.
That was one of the original bathrooms from the Tops building that was from the 60s, I believe. So yeah, it was well, and you can see the modern touchless fixtures and faucets. This material, Impro, Ron found this. This is better than tile, more maintenance free. We put drains in it, maintenance-free, or not maintenance-free, but low maintenance, but it's... the committee did do a good job picking this project to get done, and it's going to save time and money in the future. It already has, as a matter of fact. We just opened it last Tuesday. The committee for the Human Services Building actually met at the Human Services Building and got to see this.
If you guys can put a better signage there for people to find it.
Okay.
Because it did take me a while to find it.
You got me on that one. I was sucking.
Got a little infrared light going across the bottom of here.
Yours is the one without the skirt.
That's my unprofessional we put some high tech features in there. But actually, I just talked to Mike Schramm today, a week afterwards, because we have a warranty and everything here for a year. And he said already people have made a mess in there, but it took so much less time to clean it up because of the walls, the panels, the drains, everything. So
that's beautiful.
It's long term, it will save us money.
So, U-House RFP press.
I'll take that over. I think Ray's going to cover that. It is moving forward. I don't know the exact specifics with Carol O'Neill, but it is moving forward as far as her looking for a realtor.
Right.
They're trying to get... They can't get the realtors literally in there because the history museum has all their stuff laid out on the floor and trying to catalog it. Now, they were supposed to do this weekend, get it out of there, or 90% of it. We'll check on that this week and find out.
Okay.
But I know it is moving forward, and they do have had several people interested. So the word's getting out.
Yeah, that is just a report. Yeah. And critical facade and roof survey, that's
myself, yes. Sure. Actually, the Insight architects, same people that did the courthouse. I'll bring the stone in next week. It was a wedge piece of stone about this big, that thick, about this wide, about 20 feet up. It looked like a guillotine. As they were going around, they actually tap on every stone to see if it's sound or not, to determine if it needs to be repaired, replaced. And that piece was literally, they could see it, and they just wedged it right out. They didn't have to pull it out. They tapped on it until it came out, and else it would have fallen right on the sidewalk on the south side of the building. So there's a big piece of stucco also. I'll bring it into the committee next time. So it's not just a facelift per se. We've got some serious issues with the building.
And what we're looking at is seeing what we need to do to that building, and we've got the money in the budget for this year to do that.
Correct.
Give us our estimates and get our plans put together.
Correct.
I believe it was $100,000.
Correct. And we also had, there's water getting into the basement.
Right.
And at least, there's probably three places. So we also had waterproofing people from Chicago up to take a look and what it would take. So right now, we should have some preliminary estimates for the next committee meeting.
Thank you, Frank, sir. Does anyone have any other business they'd like to bring to the committee?
I'm going to express my concerns. I've done it a number of times about Petrified Springs has a beautiful blacktop walkway that we pay a lot of money for, and we don't have the money in the budget to plow it this year. I think we should try to get some money in the budget to have that plowed so we can enjoy it year-round, and also the north and south bicycle trails. We blacktopped them. We spent all of that money to put them there, and we can't use them in the wintertime. There's a lot of people that want to use them, myself included. And I hope that when we drop the budget for next year, that we allow enough money in there that we can plow them so the public can use them.
Right. Well, that's why you're here and I'm here. So at budget time, you bring that up?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be bringing it up every meeting.
Well, I wouldn't.
And at the budget.
I wouldn't do it every meeting. You know why? You'll become very annoying.
How else do I get it done?
By not being annoying. So, I mean, you brought up, I would bring it up at budget time. You can get it done. John didn't have it in his budget for this year.
Yeah, but Public Works made it.
No. Gary used up much more salt than last year, and he's over budget. So I mean, you've got to specifically put in a budget for that item.
Okay.
And I believe John thought it was like $26,000 it would have cost him, and he flat didn't have it. So, I mean, it's you know, I'm speaking lately when I say you can get that kind of stuff done. You do realize we're sitting in a room right here that this committee got done that cost $810,000, and we did it without one question from the county board floor.
Mm-hmm.
Not one question. You start early. You can get $26,000 for some
stuff. Starting early, right?
If it's important to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just have to do it. That's just advice. Any other matters? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion.
Moved by Supervisor Dodd, seconded by Supervisor Skoliski to adjourn. All of the favors say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Well, thanks to the chairman and the vice chairman for being out here and the other two.